At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, then.
KFNC.
Are you ready for this?
Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Let's do this.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number two of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We always appreciate you guys being suspects. I teased this before the break. Shams Charania, formerly of Yahoo Sports, now that too.
What?
Say it, Nick.
What just happened?
Say it, his last name.
Charania.
Okay.
Shams Charania. I did it off the air, sir. I was trying to.
No, I understand. I always thought it was on air. I always
That's the problem. He doesn't know the difference when you're just in our ear or when you're over there.
Yeah, I did it off the air.
Again, critique that we could do in the break.
We've never critiqued at the break on this show.
He's now the Athletic. He broke a story that I had gotten wind of a few days ago, but evidently James Harden and Chris Paul had a few issues during game six in terms of who controlled the ball, who was running the offense. It spilled over after the game into the hallway through the locker room, so much so that when the media was allowed in, both were nowhere to be found. According to the article, Chris Paul basically scurried over to get to his press conference, got it done. Part of the belief is also in his article, they did not have exit interviews in part because of all of this. What do you make of it?
I think it's an issue.
I think for sure the fact that they did not have exit interviews, because I emailed Tamara of the Houston Rockets and she was like, I'll let you know when we do. And it was a very vague answer, and that's not a knock on Tamara, but there's clearly a situation there that forced them not to have exit interviews.
Do you know what stands out to me the most when you tell us that? By the way, I totally didn't see that coming based on last segment. I was like, what? Those two?
Take a shot at your tease, bro.
I know. In either ear, I know.
In either ear. What really pops into my head the most is think about the interview with James Harden after the game, after the last game. Something very specific that he said that I was like, ooh, okay. Because they said, what? You know where I'm going?
I want to let you finish.
When they said, what are you guys going to do better next year? He goes, oh, we'll fix it. I know what needs to be done, and we'll fix it.
This summer.
Yeah. And it made that. As soon as you said that, I was like, ooh, does he mean get rid of Chris Paul?
No one's taking that contract.
But I'm just saying, does he mean like.
I hope not.
It all has to funnel through me. He can't be running the offense. This is my team, my offense. That's exactly what I thought of when you said that. Or when you told us about the, because you're right. I mean, give yourself some credit. You had sources that were telling you this last week or earlier in the week that this happened. So when you were telling us off air, it was like, ooh, boy, that's the first thing that popped in my head was, I wonder if that was a shot at Chris Paul by saying, oh, I know it needs to be done and won't handle it this summer.
Right. I mean, from what I gathered from it, it's definitely a red flag. And I think, and this is just my guess, I have no evidence and I don't have sources like Joel does, but I'm saying, I think one of two things is possibly going to happen. Either A, they're going to get through this and Chris Paul is going to be the bigger man like he was last year. Or B, Chris Paul's not going to be the bigger man and it's going to show in practice when they come back before training camp and in the regular season.
Would you be the bigger person?
I think Chris Paul in a way kind of has to, considering he's not as good. He's not the same Chris Paul. Let's be honest.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he's thinking like that to himself. I'm not saying, oh, I'm a shell of myself. So, no, he's thinking, I'm Chris Paul, and I have a voice here. It's going to be interesting to see. But remember the whole hand slap between James Harden and Chris Paul? I felt like Chris Paul was the bigger man in that situation. Like Chris Paul was trying to give James Harden a fist pump. This is last season on courtside. We talked about it on the show.
Yep.
And James Harden slapped Chris Paul's hand.
Yep. I remember that. Was at the end of the year.
Right? One superstar shouldn't change, should treat another superstar that way, especially a teammate. But obviously they have their little issues.
Uh-huh.
But Chris Paul was clearly the bigger man in that dynamic. It's going to be interesting to see if he does it again because they're clearly mad about this Warriors loss.
So that's why I wanted to get your guys' take before I said anything. Because here's the thing. This whole thing to me becomes a power struggle. Because you got the power struggle in the front office, whatever Tillman wants, and basically he's starting to really get hands-on in terms of what he wants and is demanding and thinks should happen. We know their limitations from an off-the-court standpoint. On the court, here's the problem I got. Shams' article also said Chris Paul had several discussions that got pretty heated during the course of the year with D'Antoni because it wasn't the offense that D'Antoni ran in Phoenix when everybody touched the ball, when they were playing fast. It wasn't, sure, it was a fast-paced offense, but other people had the opportunity to run the offense and have their hands on the ball besides Steve Nash. But here's where it gets dicey. Chris Paul, you missed a lot of time. In that time, without James Harden running the offense the way he ran it, with his hands on the ball for the majority of the time, this team would not only have not been a top four seed, it might not have made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be respectful of that. And then, unless you're the Golden State Warriors, to expect a team to change their stripes after doing it for three quarters of the year just for the postseason is not easy for teams to do. But when you look at some of the quotes that came out of this article too, Eric Gordon and others saying, go back and look at the tape. A year ago when we were winning 65 games, it was different. We had a lot more guys were involved, touched the ball more. Right. But situations dictate how you run your offense. And that's why I think Chris Paul, I think Eric Gordon, I think everybody has to kind of take a step back and go, look, the season didn't end the way you wanted it to. Before you crap on someone like James Harden, realize or the offense or D'Antoni, realize the offense, James Harden, and what they did got you to where you were going to go, and you weren't getting there otherwise.
I would agree with that. But, I mean, Eric Gordon has a valid point, and we talked about that as one of the issues with the offense. I know I brought it up, and I mean, you guys, I don't think, disagreed with me, but it was a stagnant offense. They would run out of shot clock. That is not a Mike D'Antoni system. That is a James Harden. I mean, Kevin McHale uses the term sticky. The ball would get sticky. There was no ball movement. Until at least half the time, the offense wouldn't even begin to run until 10 seconds left in the shot clock. And none of that made sense to me. And you could see it, and it was a problem. And I tend to agree with everybody else that says that the offense wasn't necessary? Yes.
Yes.
Was it good? Not necessarily.
No, not only good for everybody's well-being, but here's the thing. I'll be honest with you guys. Now, I don't give a rat's ass about what happened this last year or the year before. I'm looking at what do they do going forward. And here's where we get back to the ultimate discussion, which is unless they can find some miracle worker way to move at least one of those big contracts and get better by doing so, they're going to be limited to about $9 million to play with to try and make this offense better. And that's with Eric Gordon approaching free agency. So you've got $95 million tied up in four guys, Gordon, Capella, Paul, and Harden. You're going to probably lose your entire bench of all the buyout. Nene's going to retire. Austin Rivers is going to probably go somewhere else unless they can convince him to take a lot less money. Fareed is obviously already gone because he's upset at the way the playoffs went. So you're going to have to rebuild your bench and look to try and get, even if Shumpert, who's rumored to be in line for at least the mid-level from somebody else, and I don't think the Rockets are going to make that commitment. I don't know how they get better. And I don't know how, forget all this back and forth. How do they go forward?
Oh, no, I don't think you can forget this because, like you said, if you can't move Chris Paul, then you got two guys that aren't getting along, your stars, so to speak. I don't think you can just say, we'll forget that. What about all these other role players? This is make or break for this team. If these guys aren't getting along,
but you've got to believe they're going to get over this.
Oh, I don't know.
These guys play all summer long.
If they fought in the locker room.
Not fighting, but obviously they had lots of words.
I honestly believe it's more on Chris Paul. Chris Paul has to be. I don't think James Harden's going to be the guy.
Well, James is a diva. I mean, he's always been.
No doubt about it.
And he's the best player on the team.
But he also controls the keys to the entire organization.
He's also the best player on the team because he wouldn't let anybody else have the ball half the time.
With the blessing of Coach D'Antoni. Believe me, Coach D'Antoni has a part responsibility in this because he didn't trust those guys, and that's the reason why they didn't get those touches. Kenneth Faried wasn't playing in the postseason. There's a lot of reason why the ball wasn't being moved around. It wasn't necessarily just James Harden. Coach D'Antoni gave him that blessing, I guarantee you. Because if he didn't, he would have went up to James Harden and said, you know what, we need to move the ball around. And Eric Gordon, I love Eric Gordon, but let's not act like when he gets the ball, he doesn't get a little excited and wants to shoot and wants to penetrate True. To the basket. So
here's the thing, though, Nick. But here's the thing.
It's like if you're not getting the ball, you're like, I got to get mine while I can. I got contracts to sign too.
So he's got
to
get his.
If James ain't going to give me the damn ball, if I happen to come across the ball, I'm driving.
Here's where I'm going with the power struggle thing, right? Because you got that power struggle. I talked about the front office. But the bigger issue is James holds the keys to the entire organization. It is his team. It is his organization. And so what he says goes. And unless D'Antoni, who wants a 3-year extension, is willing to take the keys back from an offense and basketball perspective and say, look, this is the offense we're going to run, regardless of what you think is best, James. Unless someone takes control and gets everybody back in line, this locker room is going to run amok, and it's just going to get worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I was confident in this team in replenishing the depth that they lacked because they've done it before. They just didn't do as good as a job, partly maybe because of the Carmelo Anthony experiment. But there were I don't mean to reiterate the same point. I feel like there was a trust factor with Trevor Ariza when he was on this team. There was a trust factor with Luke. I know Barry was kind of a big fan of Luke. I was a big fan of Luke. There was a trust factor there. Whether it was offensively or defensively, there was definitely a trust factor there. Who else was on? Montrezl Harrell the year before. Lou Williams. There was a trust factor there, even if they weren't that good of a team. There isn't a trust factor with Kenneth Faried and a lot of the other players that were on. I mean,
but playoffs, there wasn't a trust factor with Montrezl because otherwise he'd have played.
That's true.
Right?
Absolutely.
But here's the thing. So this is where I'm going too. So I've mentioned Rodney Hood. I said they may look at Trevor Ariza on the cheap to come back and be back in that locker room presence and a lesser role. Maybe he doesn't start, but he can at least provide something for your bench. But the fact of the matter is, unless you rectify this, it doesn't matter about that. It doesn't matter who else you bring in and how else you try and make this team better. If you can't fit, if James can't relent a little bit and go, okay, you're right, for the betterment of the team, we need more guys touching it. We need to shoot quicker, not run the shot clock down as much. Unless he starts trying to make some, we talked about the all NBA teams. Look at the guys making sacrifices. Steph, Clay, KD, they all make sacrifices for the betterment of the team. Unless James is willing to make sacrifices for the better of the team, and Chris is, it doesn't matter what else they do.
But what is the being better teammates? Because they're obviously consuming the salary cap. They can't sacrifice that way.
Well,
assuming that they aren't hurt next year, Capella and Paul. You have to work at a more structured offense to where maybe it's structured not by the amount of time you consume the shot clock, but structured in terms of, again, more guys getting involved, more guys touching it and playing at a faster pace.
I don't know. I don't know how bad the argument was. I mean, look, this could be much ado about nothing, really.
Boy, I would have been rolling tape. I wouldn't give a damn. I would have been rolling tape, video. I would have recorded the entire argument.
Because, I mean, look.
Someone should have.
From a team perspective, the three of us have all had arguments and disagreements about what we do on this show and how things go and this, that, and the other. And we still come back and we do the show. And when the light goes on, we're professional. And same thing, when those guys are on the court, they realize the rest of their team is counting on them. So I don't think that they're, you know, necessarily sabotaging anything. But it's going to be interesting to see if they can get along. And I don't know the exact rules of buyouts, but is that going to be something that the Rockets look at with Chris Paul? If this is an issue, if chemistry is so bad that they can't get over it.
Isn't it too early for a buyout, though?
No, there's no... I did look that up. There is no buyout market. It usually occurs close to the deadline, but you could do it at any point. But now what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that they go into the season with a buyout. I'm saying if this team is 8, 9, 10 in the standings halfway through the season, and it's obviously a chemistry issue and all those things... That might be something they consider.
We got to look at the new collective bargaining agreement. The amnesty clause is what they used to be, and a franchise can do it once in so many years.
So right here, I'm looking. This is on SBNation.com. How long does the buyout market period last? The buyout market is technically always open, but it is most active around the NBA trade deadline.
You're talking about two different things. You can buy a guy out, mm-hmm. like a Kenneth Faried or an Austin Rivers, But when you, but they're not, we're not talking about the kind of salaries you're talking about with a Chris Paul.
You're going to buy out Chris Paul like $80-90 million?
Yeah, the buyout there is not going to happen because of that number. So what they do is they had, and I have to check and see if this changed.
Well,
with
it
the
has something to do with you get signed.
You can prorate it. You can buy it. You can do it. Your one time amnesty clause used to be where you can take, like they did with Steve Francis, you can take that money and elongate it over a certain amount of time. And it reduces your salary cap hit.
But then if they sign, which Chris Paul would get picked up by another team, if they did that, then there's you wouldn't have to pay the full buyout. Whatever he got signed for would be subtracted from what you owe.
Subtracted from what he makes. But any
so it's
team
not
that,
be
but
80 or 90
team that
million.
Signs him is only going to sign him for the veteran's minimum.
He probably wouldn't sign for that.
Yes, he would, because he's already going to get the other money. So it doesn't matter. It's happened.
I don't know.
It's just past precedents. It's happened a lot.
Okay.
So, I mean,
they're going to have to do something. I mean,
that's what happened with Melo. He got the veterans minimum, but
right.
he still got paid from
exactly
Oklahoma or
Atlanta through
or Atlanta,
the trade.
It was. Yeah.
Oh, he got, trade, yeah, he got the last year.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. They're going to have to do something if it's that big of a deal. Again, we may just be making this a bigger deal than it is.
Yeah. I think they can get over it, but we'll see. All right. So just to throw that out there for you guys as well. Hey, throw this out for you as well. If you're watching sports and you're out and about around town, you're looking for a great place to do it for the environment, the atmosphere, the food and the beverage. It's all part of the formula for a great evening out. Check out Twin Peaks, 6 locations around the Houston area, and they have everything that you could possibly need because the food is outstanding. Made from scratch menus like their new Smoker Selects menu. It's just fantastic in-house smoked meats like spicy Thai ribs, like the pulled pork sandwich. You can get all these great appetizers as well along with those entrees, and you can get 29-degree draft beer at all times. The temperature is always ice cold at 29 degrees, and they are happy to serve it to you from one of the very famous Twin Peaks girls because they take fantastic care of you. They're beautiful inside and out, but they're always focused on making sure their customer service is top notch. And they have all the satellites and all the screens, so therefore you can watch multiple sporting events all at one time. Stanley Cup finals are coming up. You can watch hockey on one channel. You can watch the NBA finals on another. Anything that you basically can request, they can find it for you and put it on the screen. It's all part of the way they want to make sure that there is only one place you think about when you're out and about, and that's Twin Peaks. Take it from me. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's Twin Peaks.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Chill, not on the side, it's the ego becomes.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Almost to the halfway point of the show. We can continue to roll on this Thursday on The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio, kicking around the Rocket stuff, NBA stuff, and otherwise. Still got plenty to get to, including the Astros and other things. So if you want to join us, we're here for you, and you know how to reach us. And if you don't, we'll get to you at some point.
I think I messed up.
How?
So my car insurance was up at the beginning of the month.
Okay.
And I went so I've had a company that I used, an agent that got me car insurance through Safeco, right? Well, then my dad was like, man, this guy got me a great deal. So you should call him. So I called him and he ended up cutting my bill by a third.
Wow.
A third on my car insurance through
money.
Progressive. Well, now two things are occurring. All right. One, I just heard from my old insurance company because I never canceled because the policy expired on May 4. So they were like, oh, you better pay because I don't want you to have to pay any late fees and when it auto-renews. I was like, why would it auto-renew? I paid you for a year of insurance. That year is up. I didn't renew it. I didn't realize there was an auto-renew. Do not do that because you ain't getting no money out of me. So that was one part where I think, uh-oh, maybe because they just sent that email today. This was May 4th when my policy expired. Then Progressive is now sending me this snapshot thing. Have you heard? You've heard the commercials, right?
Yep.
They want me to plug this into my car so that they can monitor my driving habits.
I've had my previous insurance companies have me do it.
And you have to do it or they won't cover you?
No, you don't have to do it. The way it was presented to me was you get an added bonus percentage off your term if you agree to do this.
Mm. So that's what I thought. And then I read about Progressive Snapshot Program. And what I read was, sure, if you drive 5 miles round trip 3 days a week, you're going to get a discount. But if you drive like we drive in Houston, 40 miles, you know, one way to work, 5 days a week, they're probably going to raise your rate because you're a higher risk for them. So I'm like, no, bitch, I ain't doing no snapshot. No, I don't think so, player. We had a deal. We had a deal. You sent me a quote. I said, yes, I paid you the full amount. I paid cash for the year. No, I'm not doing that snapshot. So it's still sitting in the box, and they keep emailing me. Hey, your snapshot should have been in your mailbox. How come we noticed your car hadn't registered yet? Yeah, and it's not going to. I just ignore those emails.
Been through it all.
I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
It is a pain.
You can kiss my ass, Flo. It ain't happening. I'm not.
Because they literally, Flo, they monitor
you
your average
and the whole
speed.
Team can kiss my ass.
My dad hated her for some weird reason.
Really?
I hate this Flo girl from the Progressive Insurance Company. I'm like, why?
Redheads are creepy. That's why.
He hated her. I had no idea why.
I just alienated
her. I actually liked her. I thought she was kind of funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen her without makeup?
No.
Oh. That's pretty funny.
She looks like Joe, not Flo. Like, it's, boy, it is rough. Like, you would not want to, you would, if you had sex with Flo, you wouldn't want to be there the next morning when she woke up with her hair a mess and no makeup on. You would be like, damn, I just slept with a dude. I had no idea.
Walk of shame to a new level.
Boy. Yeah, you'd be like, no, Flo, you stay here in the house. I'll leave so no one sees you leaving my house. You can just have this apartment.
Then you
I'm
put
out.
The progressive outfit like, back on, and then you really are the maid.
I just moved. Like, you just live here now, and I'm going to walk out. I don't want anyone seeing this transaction happen. This, no, thank you. But now I'm like, I'm not doing that, though. I don't need you monitoring my, because what they check for is, like, speed. Do you slam on your brakes? Oh, yeah, bitch, I drive in Houston. Of course I slam on my brakes. You know how many times we get cut off driving to and from work on a daily basis? Not to mention all the times I cut people off and then have to slam on my brakes? No. I'm not doing that. So I don't know if I'm going to lose my insurance or not. Because I just canceled my old policy.
Yeah, I would make sure someone's in place and waiting.
And now Progressive's on my ass about this snapshot, and that ain't happening. So I may be riding dirty for June. I don't know. We'll find
better
out.
Better go see the lizard.
Is that who you have?
No. I got State Farm.
Oh, really?
Did you get a good deal? I have Allstate. Allstate's been fantastic.
Really?
Allstate, outstanding. Even that accident that I had, when remember I told you that the lady that hit me in the other car told us.
You have to tell me off air what you're paying.
I thought you called them before. I thought I hooked you up.
Yeah, your boy wasn't.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Competitive.
You tried and it wasn't. No. He couldn't give you a competitive rate at
like,
that
I'm
time.
Like, I'm literally paying less than $900 every 6 months for me and Nora, and I was paying $26 for a year.
Yeah, depending on the cars, I think we do too. But yeah, I'll see.
I mean, okay. I'm paying.
It's always worth a call.
I went from $2,600 to $1,800 a year.
It's always worth a call.
Yeah.
So, All right, we'll get to that. We also got to get to the fact that you did a hell of a job, and we've got to make sure people know about it. We'll get to that and a whole bunch as we continue to roll. It's a tease, Barry. We'll get to it in the second half of the show. Don't worry about it. And if anybody gets in my ear, it better be a Q-tip and nothing else.
I hate you.
There you go. We'll do all that in the second half of the show. Also take your calls and your emails.
Hey,
and
right now, though,
tweets.
Can I tell the people about to get upside before
Absolutely.
We do that? Man, guys, I love this app. You're going to love this app. In fact, I had somebody text the show today. I didn't read it on air, but somebody texted the show and said, hey, Barry, I appreciate you turning me on to get upside. It's been outstanding. If you haven't downloaded this app yet, you're missing out. You're literally, I think it's because you hate money. You must hate money if you're not using GetUpside. Download GetUpside right now. Put it on your phone. Completely free to use. There is no catches. There's no gimmicks. There's no fees. You literally are just getting cash back to buy stuff. And it varies. I'm not telling you you're going to get rich. You're not going to buy a yacht on GetUpside. But you know what? You can put a little she money in your pocket, a little money that she don't know about. Go buy some Wendy's or Burger King. You can get up to 35% cash back on your meals every day. Your wife doesn't have to know that. Your significant other doesn't have to know that. And then you got a little money on the side that you can do whatever you want with. And here, put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra savings on your first fill up through the app. Two ways you can get money back right now with GetUpside. By filling up your car at gas, and you can get up to 25 cents a gallon just regularly at over 500 gas stations. But you can also get it through food, up to 35% cash back. There's also a third way that I don't talk about a lot, but I think it's slept on by some of the GetUpside users. You can refer your own friends to using GetUpside, and they'll give you a promo code that you can use, and then you'll get money when they use it. It's amazing, man, and you don't have to do that to get the cash back, by the way. That's just another option for you. That's how the guy that got over $200 was able to rack up so much money in his account as his friends were using it because they love the app too. So many ways to make money and get cash back through GetUpside. I don't want you to miss out on that. Make sure you download it. Put it on your phone. Put in my promo code, Barry. Start getting that cash back. Y'all thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second half of the show. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday in the big city. And we appreciate you taking us along for the ride wherever you may be in H-Town. And otherwise, kicking around a lot of different things. Kicking around NBA, kicking around, started a little Astrosy, but we'll get to that. And lots of other topics, including the All-NBA first team and otherwise. But I did want to get to something that you put out there on Twitter. I was not aware of it, and then you texted us as well. But you did the designs for our shirts and gave people a sneak peek.
Yeah. Oh, well, just for the record, I texted you guys way before I tweeted that.
That's fine.
You guys just ignored my text.
Right. Which is par for the course. But yes, for whatever the order was, it does not matter.
Okay.
The designs are fantastic.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Hopefully the people will jump on board with them and like them as much as I did. I assume Nick liked them too, but... hopefully those get out quickly, and because there's a lot of people already kind of reacting and wanting them.
Yeah. I had to do the design because no one else was. So somebody had to do it. I had a little experience doing it. You know, I won't even go in there.
It was pretty impressive how he was like changing the designs like on the fly. It was pretty impressive. It's a really cool t-shirt.
Yep.
When it's all said and done and they actually start making these things.
Yeah, it's not just words where you just throw like five guys' names on the front of the shirt and go, hey, wear this. No, it's not like that. This has got more to it.
At Barry is funny if you want to see the design. We just need to figure out colors and whatnot. And I got, I asked for some help with Brandon, our design guru here at the station, to give me his feedback on color concepts and stuff like that. So, because, you know, people get... They're like cursing immediately. Like, is this the color it's going to be? Like, I could totally hear her being complaining about it. And I'm like, look, I know redheads don't look good in yellow, but.
Response in five.
It doesn't matter.
It's coming.
Because, it's like, Jose was like, yo, don't change that. That was great. Black and yellow, that looked amazing. So somebody said, make it orange, like a prison outfit, which I thought, oh, that's a good idea. So
that's not bad.
I've got a bunch of different colors. I sent you guys some of the different color concepts and whatnot, and we'll figure it all out. But yeah, I'm just glad that we can actually move forward with it and finally have our own t-shirt for this show.
And if you heard Courtney
2.5 years later,
yesterday from our promotions team, she hinted that there will be a big surprise and there will be a lot of information coming on this t-shirt. But she did say she needed the design, and alas, they now have it.
Well, I haven't submitted it yet. I'm waiting on Brandon's feedback for the final, but it's essentially if they wanted it today, I could have it to them today. So
no more pussyfooting around. We've done what we're supposed to do.
Look, why did that scare you? That's a name. That's just a word. Pussyfooting.
I'm gonna start dumping you guys for no reason.
Yeah. On words that don't make sense.
I've dumped him for no reason before.
Yeah, he really has several times. I mean, what's wrong with pussyfoot?
Yeah.
Stop saying it. It scares me.
When you want to impress a girl,
okay,
would you not bring her a pussy willow or two?
See.
Because pussy willows are very, very, very prominent in certain seasons.
Words of Joel Blank and Barry Laminack.
I'm so proud of my baby bird. I know you expect me to tell you to stop doing this. I got tears in my eyes. I'm so proud of you right now.
Like, if you want to get a bouquet together and get with P. Randizzle and see if they can't get a couple of really nice...
wear it out.
Pussy willows in the middle of it. It'll add to the bouquet.
Oh,
it'd be fantastic for you. So there you go. So check out the shirt design if you want.
He's trying to think of other words.
No, I'm not.
The P word in it.
No, I'm tired of pussyfooting around with all this. We're just going to get down to some business.
It's just like, I hate you guys. I hate you. At first it was rooster talk, and now it's kitty talk, and I don't like it. It's always animals, right? Yeah. What you gonna
do? The CBD oil, Nick. It's what happens when the cat gets the CBD
oil.
Got
him going crazy.
You know, it happens. So there you have that.
Good times. Well, yeah. Well, thanks. I'm excited about us getting the shirts. I hope that the loyals and the listeners out there like it.
For sure.
We shall see. I don't know if they're going to give them away or sell them, because people are like, I'll buy one. And I'm like, well, I don't know if they're going to be for sell or if they're, because I know the Blitz's shirts, you had to buy one. I don't know if they were giveaways. It was a long time ago.
Is that the one that were there with the cartoon pictures of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
They sold them at like some UT store co-op around the corner or something. But then like John and Lance's shirts, they did giveaways for. They just gave them away.
Right.
So
and before
I don't know
that,
how
they gave
work.
Away the True Texans fans listen to ESPN 97.5, then all of our names
all of
were
our
on
names.
It.
Yeah. And I don't know who did all those designs, but they obviously didn't want to do ours. So
I think they had a deal with a different shirt company.
You think the shirt company did the designs?
I do.
Oh.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, the John Lance Raheel and Dell one was stolen from the Beatles.
Right.
That's a pretty easy one to do. That's just a font.
And the first knockoff was the starting lineup for the Rockets championship team.
Huh?
Right after the Beatles one you're talking about, then it became it got popular again in Houston because it was Akeem and Robert.
Oh, yeah. Well, that design's
Sam
been around.
Right.
And it's been used.
I'm saying it was
like
reused.
I made one. Like, I bought one that had Martin, Pam, Tommy, Gina, and all that in the same design. And then I was going to make one on that T-shirt site that I used when I did the Welcome to the Land shirts. And they wouldn't let me do it because I was using names. Like, I made it to where it said UGK, Ghetto Boys, and all that, and using the same design. So, yeah, it's a pretty popular design.
Yeah, for sure.
I wouldn't say that they...
This one's more original, obviously.
Oh, this is 100% original. I don't think... I mean, I didn't really copy any ideas here. This was just the idea that I had. It's us. It's our faces in the lineup holding our names, and it says Usual Suspects, and on the back it says, What Up, H-Town. So, at Barry Swan, if you want to see it. I think... I'm proud of it. I think it's a shirt that our show can be proud of. So,
absolutely.
Pretty cool.
Well, I know I am. It's, like I said, I was impressed with it. So
cool.
Check it out. Yep. There you go. It's out there for you. By the way, Greg the Beer Man says he's an Allstate agent. Barry, come at him.
No, just hook us up with some beer, bro.
Yeah, go back to the old job. Is that what you're telling
him? Excuse me?
I mean, he's probably got better sources for beer, right? Isn't he one of the beer guys or no? Or is he just called Greg the Beer Man?
Either way, I don't need you cock blocking my discounts for insurance trying to get beer instead.
Aren't you already locked in? You can't renew for a while. Let's get the show some beer.
I don't know. If they tell me that I have to do that snapshot or they're going to cancel me, I'm not locked in. That's the whole point. I'm kind of in limbo right now.
His insurance isn't important, beer man, Greg. Just hook us up with some beer.
You know what? You need an intervention. You would
really
sacrifice
don't.
Your friend's financial well-being to get a free beer. That's going to be me and you one day. I'll be like, Nick...
That's,
I know.
That's actually a lie. Nick, you get your signals
heart,
crossed.
That was, I still love you. That's a pretty good impression of that cat. You don't have that part, do you? I did a pretty good impression of
I
his
do
son.
Not.
That was the live look at, you got your signals crossed, of the home camera of Barry's cat chilling while Barry's and Nora
guy?
At work. Yeah, that was just the cat noises coming out of Barry's house right now.
I'm going to tell you, if you find the whole thing, I nailed the son. That was a pretty good impression of the sun. I'm not going to lie. I don't usually pat myself on the back for impressions, but I nailed that one.
You nailed Morgan Freeman, too.
Shut your... I hate you so much.
Your Morgan Freeman is underrated. I think it's good. I'm not kidding about that.
There's a lot of Rockets text I'm just trying to skip through here, so no one... We've moved on.
Somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
I don't know.
I still love you.
Huh? How'd I do?
Pretty good.
Huh?
We should have do it side
it's
side
like
by
I had
side.
A crackhead for a dad at one point. It's not true. I love you, Dad. You never were a crackhead.
Okay. I'm not getting into all that. I'm not getting into family matters. So to put a bow on our NBA talk, at least for a while as we move on, though, I did want to get to this before we get out, and that is the fact that you and I and all three of us had a discussion about this whole – we've had discussions about Chris Broussard, as we all know. Then we had the Chris Broussard-Kevin Durant thing, and we mentioned it the other day, and you were very apt at saying, hey, you know what? What if he provides the text, but he could also cut and paste and do some things, alter it, so that you can't really tell – who it's from or if it's really from him. And I said, look, for the betterment of just for whatever for making sure that you could stand up for yourself and say you're right and your credibility's good, Broussard should offer him up.
Yep.
Well, Broussard came out with a video post on social media, and he said this.
Let me start this off by saying I like and respect Kevin Durant and am not trying to continue a Twitter beef with him. However, he did challenge my credibility, and I must respond to that. In my telephone, I have more than 60 direct messages from Kevin Durant on Twitter and Instagram since February of 2018. These were conversations initiated by KD himself. We talked about a lot of the things I talked about on Undisputed, and some of these conversations lasted more than 5 hours. If you want to argue over the difference between a text and a DM in the year 2019, go right ahead. But to me, it's all the same thing. For those of you want me to publish these DMs, it's not going to happen. Out of respect for KD, those texts will remain private. Finally, after all of this, I will continue to love, respect, and pray for Kevin Durant and objectively analyze him as a basketball player. See you on Undisputed tomorrow morning.
Okay.
He had to do that.
He definitely had to do that, but I'm going to tell you why I don't think he's lying.
Okay.
And it's not because I trust Chris Broussard.
How can you not?
It's not because I don't trust KD. I think when he said, I exchanged text with Kevin Durant, but really meant to say DMs and private messages, I think he legitimately messed it up. And the reason is because he just said, I have all these messages in my telephone. These are not telephones. These are smartphones. A telephone is the like a payphone telephone.
Rotary dial.
A rotary dial. A push-button telephone at your house. You don't have those in your telephone. Obviously, Chris Broussard doesn't understand technology, and I think he misspoke. I really do. I mean, you called your smartphone a telephone, bro. I know that's a petty alert. Still, who's calling a telephone now?
In my telephone, I have more than 60 direct messages from Kevin Durant on Twitter and Instagram.
KD saying, bro, you don't need to have my phone number. But it obviously also shows that it's more than possible. And it was just a slip up in terms of the terminology.
A lot of people that don't understand the nuance of telephone versus smartphone, text versus DM. I'm making a joke, but I'm 100% serious at the same time. I absolutely believe that he meant DMs when he said text now.
And the other thing is, based on how petty Kevin Durant has become with social media, with his burner account, with the way he constantly is at odds with the media and all the different things that he's got issues with, this totally shifts everything again to say, you know what? You wouldn't put it past Kevin Durant to just try and like, you know, push this aside and deny it and put it on Broussard. But the fact of the matter is, it wouldn't surprise anybody if Kevin Durant actually had these conversations.
How old do you think Chris Broussard is?
Oh, the way he talks or the way he looks?
How old do you think he is? Just in general.
41.
46.
50 years old.
Is he really?
Wow. That's,
so I'm actually not incredibly
so
shocked
old.
That he said telephone.
That is
to be
so
honest with
old.
You.
Oh my God, that's old. That's like way
I did
old.
Not expect to
I
look up
either.
Chris Broussard and see that he's 50 years old. He's been active since 1990.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. So that again.
How old, explains okay. it a little
How old
bit.
Is Brian Windhorst?
I don't know.
I think Brian Windhorst is probably 32.
No. Oh. What?
Years old. How old do you think he is?
No way.
How old do you think he is?
I'd say he's in his early 40s.
41.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's a big dude, bro. That
I know
that
he's
flubber
big,
is
but...
like you can't see his belt cuz it's flipping over. I'm concerned. I'm genuinely concerned for Windhorst. I'm being honest with you. It's bad.
It is bad.
It's not a good fat. It's a bad fat. Like it's a
he's a big dude, but
I mean, I didn't think he was. I didn't think honestly. I would have guessed
he's married
closer to what Joel thought,
kid,
like 35
too.
Or 36. I wouldn't have said 41.
He's married, just had a kid. He's got to be a little bit more responsible.
He just had a kid.
Well, I don't know.
That could explain.
He could be a carrier. I don't.
We're
know.
The worst with body shaming. That's my fault. I started that anyway. So
what
his
body
wife.
Shaming
on him?
Well, so, just in general.
So
on
essentially,
show.
You're saying his boxer briefs aren't.
I mean,
the
I think it's cute that you would
anymore?
Take you would take the blame for that. But bro, I've been body shaming.
I'm not taking the blame from. I'm saying the whole show does it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, well, I thought you said you take the blame
for starting body shaming this particular one.
Oh, I was going to say, we've been body shaming for years now on
this
show.
I just said specifically for this incident.
Oh, yeah. You definitely started that.
Yeah.
That was all.
Oh, body shaming, that's all.
Yeah, you definitely started it this time, and I don't know why you would.
I just because I saw him at the game, at the Rockets game, and I couldn't help it. I didn't think it was like that.
Did you?
Now
did,
I'm convinced he fell asleep
TV
on the
just
air.
Put on an extra 40?
I really do. I think he's gained weight.
Does he look fatter on TV than he does in person?
No, he looks fatter in person than he does on TV.
Do you know how hard that is to do?
That's true.
That's a different kind of fat because, like, I know for me, I feel like I look fatter on TV than I do in person.
5 to 10 is what TV puts on you.
That's crazy. I would have thought, okay, if I see Brian Windhorst in person, he's not going to look that big. He's going to look a lot better. And you're saying he doesn't.
No, he does not.
That's sad.
But yet you said Ramona Shelburne looked better in person.
I never said she's a beautiful woman, but I didn't say she would look bad or good or I didn't say anything.
Flo from Progressive.
Flo.
I sat right next to what's her name? Rachel
Nichols.
Yeah.
And
she asked me a question.
Would you? What?
Yeah.
What'd she ask you?
Was that James Harden's first three-pointer in the fourth quarter? I'm like, absolutely it was, and I didn't even know. I didn't know if it was the first or the second or the third. She asked me a question. I had to answer. Nicholas. I had to be prepared.
Yes.
I was sitting in Michael Wilbon's chair because he didn't make the flight because of like bad weather, so he couldn't come to the Rockets game. So I was sitting right next to Rachel Nichols. I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
Just
that was
out
the
here giving wrong information.
So she went on what is it? On the jump.
The jump.
Didn't give me credit though.
And then you probably gave her the wrong info. She's out here.
I still deserve credit for it.
Verified.
That's God, Nicholas. You are.
You know who
dude.
Thinks she walks on water and other things.
That
right?
guy who filled in for Barry not a long time ago.
Matt Jackson.
That guy.
Who?
Yeah.
Matt Jackson that has spent some time on radio in Houston.
Yeah.
Matt Jackson thinks she is the ultimate.
Really?
Yeah. So one day at Media Day. ESPN came to
wait.
To,
what?
To
no,
come.
No.
Oh, see?
No, bitch, you're on producer cam. You're gonna say it now because the whole world just saw you make the fat gesture.
The whole world didn't see that.
Yes, they did. You just like, what is your deal today with shaming people?
We don't body shame and objectify women on this show. We don't do that.
I go back to my previous statement. We've been doing that for years now. We're not hiding from it now.
I've rarely seen someone that like in the presence of another person gets that really like completely flustered, red faced, like almost
Matt
shaking.
Jackson?
Matt Jackson was doing the afternoon.
Was it as bad
during
as
media
Adam
day
with,
from 790 when live from the Toyota Center and Rachel Nichols was there and I brought her over to join him on the show and he literally almost couldn't speak.
Really?
He was that was big.
Was it his Jay Moore? Was that it?
Yeah.
Did she ask to go get
Bob Sugar?
Coffee?
Was his Bob Sugar? Sign my poster, baby. Yeah.
I don't know if I'd ever.
He's not an A-lister, but he's an A-teamer.
You didn't need to.
Oh, I didn't. Okay. Hey, we're getting close to running over break. So let's.
Nick,
let's...
I can't believe you're out here giving people wrong information that are doing national TV.
I didn't want her to know that. I didn't know what
so
I was
you.
Talking about.
That is so you.
You had a computer in front of you?
Oh, my God. That is so
I have
so
my iPad.
You.
Could have taken you more than 60 seconds.
But then I would have cheated.
You are crazy. You are crazy.
She doesn't know the difference. She went on the jump and everybody thinks she's informative.
I'm sorry, but I just find it. You are crazy, dude.
I was going to say she had a producer
she's like,
that
I'm
could
about
have jumped
to go
in
on
and
air.
Given her the right info.
I was just curious. Was that his first three-pointer of the fourth quarter? You're like, yeah. Okay, I'm going to go tell the entire world that now and have no basis of fact or a foundation for truth on any of
but
this.
At least give
I'm just going to rely on random Joe sports guy next to me.
But his delivery at least was believable enough that she could have believed him as opposed to being apprehensive and going, yeah, it was.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
I was going to say, too, by the way, ESPN's producers would have jumped on that and corrected her. But no, they wouldn't.
No?
Because just all the Stephen A. Smith stuff
yeah, that's
that they
true.
Never correct. By the way, this morning, he went on a rant because they were talking about Drake. And he was talking about fans that need to be kind of pulled back over the years.
Uh-huh.
And he went, you remember when Jack Nicklaus did the whole strangle thing with the Lakers? Jack Nicklaus! Jack Nicholson.
God.
And it continues. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, quick one here as we take it till the 3 o'clock hour, and then we go all the way until 4 before we turn it over to the Blitz. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hanging out, kicking around, a lot of different things. That was an interesting segment. Sportsy, though.
Nick just cracks me up. God, that's so funny. Somebody said I did the snapshot, got the highest discount possible, which was 30%. When it was time to renew, my premium went up 25%. So that's a 5% net. I don't know if you know how math and 30 and the 25. And that's, yeah, I don't think I'm doing that. This is Demetrius. Don't do the snapshot, Barry. They can't make you. And those little boxes have been known to mess up the electrical systems in some cars. Oh, well, that'll be my excuse. My car's new. You're not messing up my car. I don't think so.
Well, actually, that's the reason why I never believed in it. I always was in fear of this aftermarket product that is either manufactured by Progressive or some company.
Yeah, you're going to plug it in.
And then you're going to plug it in. Like it's supposed to be a one-size-fit-all thing.
I don't know. You're not downloading something to my GPS that's built into the car where you track everywhere I go and then use that to send
the
ad.
Same way, like when I got my new car.
I'm paranoid. I'm wearing a tinfoil hat. No. Yeah.
You know the sunroof deal? Uh-huh. And so I reached up to hit the sunroof lever. Well, I accidentally hit the other thing, which is like their version of OnStar. Right. And the next thing you know, through my dashboard, here comes, "Hello, Mr. Blank. Did you intentionally press the you need help button or an emergency services?" I'm like, "No. What?" No. So if they can tap into that
Joel,
stuff.
Look, Joel's CRISPR. So he was like, "Oh my God. Is that you, Jesus? Is that you talking?
LeBron, hit my button.
Is this the Lord coming through my car right now?" Joel. Yeah, I had OnStar for like a year when I first bought my Avalanche. It came with OnStar for a year. Rarely used it. I thought I would try it out. I was like, they'll send you like turn-by-turn directions. I was like, I have a smartphone. I don't need any of this. This doesn't make any sense to
use. You know what's so funny about the OnStar thing? They gave it to me with my Traverse, and I got 6 months free.
Uh-huh.
And then I get a call from them, and I'm sitting in my car on my driveway, and they're like, "Sir, your free, subscription. Do you want to add a credit card and re-up?" I'm like, nah, I'm not at the house. He's like, "Oh, I can see that you're at the house right now."
Really?
You're at the house, bro. That's crazy. You got a credit card. I'm like, nah, play.
I can see you're in the driveway.
He literally called me out.
Stop watching me.
They got GPS, and they know where you're at.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't.
You almost. No. I've done it. No, you're like, "Hoof."
Was it the F bomb that I was about to drop?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the part that's creepy. And then, because Nora was asking me about that. No. Brenda was talking about that. We were talking about cars. And she was like, "Do they put low jack on cars?" I was like, "No, because they have these new systems like the OnStars where they can just track your car. It's almost like Find My iPhone. You can just find your car."
Yeah. Now low jacks were expensive and it was an additional
police
fee.
Cases. It's a lot. They can track stolen cars in a lot of ways because of that.
Yep.
And by the way, I was right. And I remembered how I found out. Ramona Shelburne not only played college softball, you know who her teammate was? Jessica Mendoza.
Shut up.
See, I believe Jessica Mendoza was playing softball.
Yeah. I remember it because there, and I found the video. There was a play in the College World Series where Ramona went to the wall saying she got it. And she didn't get it, and they collided, and Jessica Mendoza caught it. I'll show it to you at the break.
Nice.
Yeah. So there you go. And one stayed in baseball and softball, and the other decided to be a top-notch basketball reporter. There you have it. All right, two in the books, 1 hour still to go. Stay tuned for the final 60 minutes of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more.
Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.